Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Living and Thriving. Living and Thriving. Living and Thriving with Rusty. Living and Thriving with Rusty.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon to all my blessed beloveds out there in Radio Land. It's Living and Thriving Day, and today I'm extraordinarily snuggly. I've been up since 2 o'clock this morning. I had to race my daughter up to Tampa, which is about an hour and a half north, so that she could catch her flight and spend the holidays with her father's side of the family. Little heartbreak there because you know how much I love her. She's my favorite person in the whole wide world, but I know it's good for her. She'll be gone for a couple of weeks, and it's just me and the pups, and they're snuggly too. They're all snuggled into me because we've had tornado warnings and trees falling out of the sky today and torrential downpour. It's been crazy, Lord, but, you know, It is what it is when you live in the tropics. I am super grateful to, realize that tomorrow is not only a full moon, I know you're on, Amy, but it's the wolf's moon, and it's Yule. How magical is that?
And it's a solstice.
That's what Yule is, yes. Yule solstice. Yeah. Did you know when the first Yule or festival of Yule was?
Where it was held?
Yes. In Scandinavia in the pre-Christian era. And the first Christmas was actually in 336, December 25, 336. I love this stuff because it all makes sense. It all adds up. But Yule, which begins tomorrow, is 12 days of celebrating the rebirth of the sun. And back in those days, they would design a log. They would take a log, and they would put colorful orbs on it, very similar to what we do with our Christmas trees, green and gold and red, to celebrate the sun. And they would put stars on there, just like we do with our Christmas trees. And then they would put little notes of what they would love to, you know, their intentions for the coming year. And in where was it? I think it was Rome. They had a feast called Saturnalia to honor the god Saturn, which was agricultural bounty. And you, my friend, are dealing with rain and snow. It's kind of hard to think of agricultural bounty right now, isn't it?
Yes, and the reason why we and the name, you know, Festival of Lights, and we're bringing in, we're welcoming the sun back because, you know, it's the shortest day of the year. And so now the sun is going to return and we're heading towards, you know, the rebirth. And we're at the most desolate time of our harvest. So we're honoring, which is what gives us our harvest. And so I've actually participated in a real authentic Yule log celebration. It was really incredible. And I love, as you know, doing things like that and honoring the old ways and also honoring new ways as well. And I think that we're all getting better at honoring others' ways.
Each other.
Of bringing this season in. There's so many different cultures and belief systems that are beautiful to look at and see what their traditions are. And that's what I love about this time of year is exploring that and learning more about other cultures and how they celebrate.
There's an estimated 2,200 religions in the world. That's a lot of thinking, a lot of prayer, and I love it. And this year, the Jewish calendar was early with Hanukkah, so Hanukkah ended on December 10th, and Kwanzaa's a little later this year. Kwanzaa starts on December 26th. Can you believe that? The calendar is really interesting this year.
It is, and the alignments are very interesting too. I was looking that, you know how our beautiful friend Venus and Mars in retrograde isn't going to happen in 2019. Hooray!
Wow. I Amen, girl. Made a good year. Yeah, I believe tomorrow's full moon is at 0 degrees Cancer, if I remember correctly. And so it's going to be really interesting. The energy is really interesting.
I'm going to be on.
But anyway, bringing up
tonight. So that's
bringing up all that holiday joy is leading me to talk about have your cake and be happy too—a joyful approach to weight loss. I am super excited to bring Michelle Hasty Thomason on. I can't say her name because my tongue is tied and I've been up since 2. So hopefully she'll forgive me. She's going to inspire us about what it's like to turn your life around and really start loving yourself and be authentic with yourself. And again, it's a perfect time, don't you think? Because this is all about manifesting good intentions for 2019, taking care of ourselves. And Yule is actually customarily a time of rest. So
yeah.
I think Michelle will have a lot to talk about in regards to self-care in that. But Amy, I love you and I miss you and happy holidays to you, my friend, and all the girls. I'm sure they're running you crazy with all the dances and everything.
Yes, we're wrapping up Annie, which has been, wow, what an adventure that's been. She's just a fantastic opportunity and people that she's working with and auditioned for another show, and we'll get to that later. But I'm hoping to see your kid.
I know, but you know he's not going to let you. You know he's not going to let you. He's just
we'll see.
Who he
we
is.
We have to give the opportunity. We have to give the opportunity.
Yep. Well, it's been given, so that's it. Exactly right. And moving forward with 2019 intentions of beautiful, positive outlook. And I'm telling you, Amy, it has just been a tremendous, tremendous change in our lives. We feel so good and so healthy and so happy. And this journey, I can't even wait for you to see Chloe because she's just beaming. She's glowing. And I know you saw her latest art piece. Oh, my gosh, this kid is just so talented.
Needs to bring some of that up here so I can show it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm actually thinking we're going to have to talk offline about maybe putting a little art show together when we come
absolutely.
Up. But anyway, we'll chat. We need to have our little chit-chat anyway. I'm going to bring Michelle on. She has some time to share with us, and I'm super excited to get to know her and to find out what inspires her and how she can inspire us. Knock, knock. Michelle, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi, Michelle.
Welcome,
high
Michelle.
Five. Welcome to Living and Thriving.
How's it going?
Dude, I am, like, so tired, and I have more palm trees in my yard. It sounded like this weird, I don't know, I felt almost Wizard of Ozzy for a while because all these palm trees are plummeting the side of my house, and I'm going, I don't even have palm trees. Where the hell are these coming from?
Weird.
But it's finally calmed down. It's finally calmed down. I'm like, tornadoes in December? Okay, global warming really doesn't work, right? It doesn't exist. Okay, pass the peace pipe. The storm actually is, like, when I dropped my daughter off in Tampa, an hour and a half north, it was torrential downpour all day, this whole trip, right? And when she got on the plane, the rain followed her all the way up to Connecticut.
Oh, my God.
Wow, this is a huge
storm. Doesn't end.
It's never going to end.
Yikes.
And it's crazy. But anyway, enough about storming. Tell us about this beautiful book that you've made and this beautiful idea called I'm Done Dieting. What's that about?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Have Your Cake and Be Happy Too is really a how-to kind of step-by-step guide to help people get to a place with their bodies and with food and with movement that's very peaceful. But obviously the goal here is to lose the weight. But I wanted to introduce a way to do that that did not include dieting, that did not include restriction deprivation, because they don't work and we know they don't work. We know it goes against human nature and behavior and psychology, and yet everything out there is kind of pushing it that way. And so I wanted to give people some other option so that they didn't have to do it that way if they didn't want to.
Well, and, you know, just coming from my gypsy feministic side, our plastic surgery has quadrupled in the world of women. And these diet fad pill things that are being consumed at astronaut, like multi-billion dollars worth of consumption. And I'm sitting here going, Girl, I'm fluffy because I drink wine and I laugh a lot, and that's just me. Like, be happy with who you are. So tell me, how do you recover from this society that's just tuck and suck and pill and sew and gel and wrap?
I mean, really, honestly, I think the way that you get out of that world is you have to become really honest with yourself about the fact that it has nothing to do with anything except marketing and advertising. Like, the industry, the reason why you're so driven to look a certain way is because they tell you to. I mean, if you really think about it, it's really coming
right
down to that, because the main message, right, that everyone hears that drives them to get surgery or do diets or do something extreme is that if they were some other way, that they would be happier, healthier, richer, have better sex, have a better life. Like, pretty much everything is guaranteed if you just do or look better or do this thing or buy that thing. And that's what you're saying is, you know, I'm very much aware that changing the way I look or buying a new car or buying eye cream is not going to change my life in any drastic way.
No, I think, and I'm sure Amy can, you know, jump in with this concept. I don't know how many shows you've listened to, if you've listened to any, but I'm a kill your TV kind of girl. I absolutely hate TV. I hate what they put on the media, the radio shows. I just think it really deprives you of creativity and self-love. There's a constant messaging that you're not good enough, no matter what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, removing that from my life has been huge. And
I mean, if you were good enough, you wouldn't have to consume anything, technically, right? You wouldn't have to buy. Like, they couldn't survive because they were like, well, you look great, but if you want to
right
lose pounds, here's how you do it. They're like, well, I'm not going to buy that. Like, it doesn't work.
Right.
So,
right. The consumerism
I just,
I think, the biggest evil.
Right. And I mean, I like TV, don't get me wrong. But I think that there has to be a level, I do, but there has to be a level of an awareness when you're watching it, like, this is what they're trying to get me to believe. And I need to be aware that that belief is what's driving this desire to buy and consume and diet like crazy and, you know, and the never enoughness, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's satiating an emptiness that we've created societally, because I find as I read more about suicide and depression and things like that, those are exponentially increased as well. So it kind of balances out with being absorbed with a boob tube and being sucked into this messaging that you're not good enough, and then not really having anybody in your life to console you because they're all wrapped up in their own little not good enough worlds. We're like walking, we're hamsters in those balls, and we just kind of pass each other, and there's no more community or community barbecues, and if you hug somebody, you might get sued. It's stupid.
It's the isolation. I mean, that's really what's, because I too have been reading a lot on depression, addictions, and why is this all getting so much worse? Weight is getting worse. Obesity is getting worse. Everything's getting worse. And when you look at the correlation here, the blindingly obvious thing is disconnection, isolation. And that's really what it is. So, yeah,
right.
I mean, you are on our little hamster wheels in our own little worlds. And it's, like, crazy because we're all experiencing the same things. It's like when you sit down and talk to someone, you're like, really? I feel that way, too. And I think that, too. And, oh, my God, you're
right.
Like, I just got off a client. I do these little community calls with my clients where everyone can jump on, and they love it because one will say something and the other one's like, that's exactly what I was thinking. I'm like, you guys, we're all in it together. We're all here
the
together.
The mental popcorn. I love it. Love it.
Yeah.
Well,
that's why
this show is so important to me, and I know to Amy as well, is the fact that we want to kind of be the light in that crapshoot of information. We want to bring wonderful
mm-hmm.
people like you on that have this basis, this foundation. I call it the spiritual Home Depot, in the sense that
yeah.
here are all of these tools. You choose what size fits your tool belt, you know? groove on that. And this message might not work for you today, but this is forever permanent link. So maybe a year from now you'll stumble across it and go, oh, my God, that's right. And we need more of that. We need more of that messaging. We need more of that teamwork. We need more of that inclusiveness, because I think we're at this, we're kind of like a festering zit at this point. Ugly analogy, but it gets the point across. We're just pushing up and up and up, and it's an infection. And I'm not a big dieter. I mean, I'm a celiac, so I have to follow a certain regimen, but it doesn't stop my life. It keeps me healthy. But I do exercise. You know, I went belly dancing the other night. It was the best time I've had in forever. Love belly dancing. And that's exercise, you know, do what's fun for you.
Oh, yeah.
What kinds of things do you recommend?
It's 100% it. So it's like you have to just move. First of all, don't think about it as exercise, because unfortunately that word has become attached to this sort of chore, grueling, burning calories type of thing. And it's not about
deprivation.
The body. Yes, and the thing is, the reason why exercise is talked about so much in correlation to weight is because the body inherently likes to move. So as life has gone differently, as we've gotten more technology, things like that, people have become more sedentary. And the problem with that is that's not what's natural to humans. Now, that doesn't mean that you need to go to boot camp 7 days a week. That was not the intention of this, like, you got to move more. Like, that's where, because we take everything in extreme. It's like, oh, exercise is good, then do the hardest, most grueling sweat. Like, no. In fact, for myself, when I was doing the crazy intense exercise 7 days a week is when I was my heaviest. Mm-hmm. My body hated it. It hated it because I'm really high energy. I'm kind of hyper. I'm like, go, go, go. I'm prone to anxiety. And so revving up my heart rate like that more was the last thing my body wanted. And so I think if we can start to look at this as, well, do you move? Like, are you truly sedentary? Because most of the people that I talk to are not. And they're perceiving themselves as if they're not doing enough for movement. And they probably are in terms of weight. Now, if you have other goals, like you want to be stronger, you want better endurance, you don't want to huff and puff walking upstairs, like, yeah, you're going to have to do some more exercise to achieve those goals. But just talking about weight, it does not take a lot of movement. And just move a little because you're human and that's what you like to do. Don't be sedentary because your body hates that.
Well, and I think that we have a cross-messaging. So, and I'll find that for you. And you're going to run with this one, I bet. We have this messaging that we're not good enough. We have this messaging to be very competitive with that not good enough betterment, which is contrary to any human mind. I mean, I'm a fairly smart woman, and that statement just blows my mind away. We're not good enough, but we have to be competitive to better ourselves, right? And then we have this food phobia, where we subconsciously have been programmed to believe that food is evil.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes so much sense why people are just like, fuck it, I'm done, I'm out, peace out.
Only they could. They can't ever, like, because you can say, fuck it, I'm done, right? But that only lasts, like, a few weeks before you're crazy and you're like, I gotta diet again, because you don't want to feel like things are spiraling out of control. And so people are just plummeting from restriction to binge, restriction to binge. There's no in between, and they're swinging back and forth. And it totally makes sense, like you said, that is what any human would do in that state. I mean, you deprive any human or even animal, and what are they going to do in response to deprivation? It's going to be binging, right? That's the balancing. Why we have so many binge eaters now is not any accident. It makes complete sense. But the problem is that the solution to that binging is more restriction, which is insane. That'll never work.
Well, and that's where that whole hypocrisy piece goes into it, where, you know, oh, well, I'm going to cheat today and I'm going to have a six pack of whatever. Mm-hmm. And then the next day you have this remorse and this guilt of, oh my God, I just put on 60 pounds, I'm never going to lose my weight, I'm so depressed.
Or even just the word, right, cheat?
Yeah.
Like, that's a heavy word. Cheat is a bad word. Like, you don't want to be a cheater. Nobody wants to be a cheater. Like, that's not a nice correlation. Of course you're not going to feel good after doing it. And I know it works for some people. Like, if you're a professional athlete, if you're a bodybuilder, if you're in that field, then cheat days maybe become part of your life and you're just kind of like, because I know, like, The Rock. I always see The Rock post on Instagram, and he's like, oh, my cheat day.
Oh, I love
day.
It when he posts
like,
on Instagram. Woohoo.
Yeah, it's like sushi. I'm like, sushi is your cheat day? I don't know. It's like such a weird world that I don't understand. But, right. You know, if that's your world and it works for you, that's cool. But for me, like, a cheat day made no sense. I don't ever want to be restricted or deprived of anything. I can choose, but I don't want to be told what I can and cannot have.
Well,
like, I'm super rebellious like that.
It starts with it being something bad right off the bat. And the other thing that I found in dieting is you have all these people that have all these results and they're promoting a product or a system, but that isn't all that they're doing to achieve
Mm-mm.
what they look like and what you desire to look like possibly. There's a lot more that they're doing than that system to bring them to that goal, and they're not expressing
sure.
that. So then people have a false sense of...
Absolutely, and where are they starting? Because if you've
right.
never struggled with weight, if you've never binged, if you've never felt what it feels like to feel like you can't say no to a food when you're not hungry, like if you've never experienced any mm-hmm. of that, and then someone comes up to you and they're like, hey, we can, like, help you get a six-pack. Does that sound cool? And you're like, I don't know. Like, well, we'll pay you. It's, like, pretty easy. You're like, all right, I'll do it. It's, like, the emotional, it's not
right.
even close to someone that experienced, like, what my clients and what I experienced, which is, like, you look at a plate of food and it has so much meaning. Like, a plate of spaghetti is not just noodles. It's, oh, the thing I shouldn't be eating. It's too many carbs. It's why I'm fat.
Mm-hmm.
It's my lack of willpower. Like, it has all this meaning attached to it, and that's not the same.
Well, and I think
no.
if we can take that a step further and just bring in the depth of that meaning, for some people, comfort food like a plate of spaghetti also remind you of Monday night, spaghetti night at home when Dad comes home drunk and he
mm-hmm.
smacks your mom around. You know,
mm-hmm.
so there's these other triggers that are associated with our food consumption that we may not be openly aware about, but they're definitely
oh,
embedded
yeah.
in us. You know, how do you associate
well,
ice cream with your, you know,
yeah,
whenever you eat ice
coping.
Cream? Is it a terrifying thing? Right.
That's exactly, you know, if I like that example you gave with the spaghetti. You know, is it the thing that reminds you of a bad experience at home, or was the thing that you ate when things went bad at home? And so it has become
right.
your, you know, your comfort, your, or a lot of people do this because I have a 3.5-year-old, so I can totally see this happening. I have to stop myself. If he's crying, if I handed him a cookie, he would stop crying right there. He'd be like, ooh, cookie. Like,
right.
That's all it takes, right? So, I mean, that happens so easily. It's not like I'm faulting any parent for doing it. I totally get it. It's so simple. Give him candy, give him cookie, give him a piece of food he likes. He'll stop crying.
Rewarding
food
with food. Yep, yep, exactly right. And it's not an intentional mean thing. It's
no.
not like, oh, geez, I want you to be fat.
It's,
bah, ha, ha, ha. It's just, hey, I love you. I want you to be comforted. And food is comforting.
Absolutely. It is. And people even say, like, I was with another couple and their kids, and he's like, oh, eat your cookie. You'll feel better. It's like, that's a simple statement, right? Like, why wouldn't you say that? Because cookies are delicious. But, you know, and it's not like just saying that's going to cause your kid to have problems with food the rest of their life. It's just the culmination
right.
of all these things, you know.
I still think the reason why my daughter is mildly overweight is because when she was a toddler, our general practitioner kept telling me over and over again, she's going to be heavy, she's going to be fat, you need to watch what she eats. Because she was just really tall. And she was 24
yeah.
inches. We literally unrolled her when she was born. And, you know,
oh
she's very
God.
Tall. Yeah. But, you know, I think that planted a seed in her where she's just like, yeah, whatever. You know what I mean? And then her father didn't
help. Not ignored.
Yeah, so all of those seeds get planted at an early age, and then the consequence of that is a lifelong struggle with trying to like yourself. So
yeah.
You yourself have experienced having issues with binge eating specifically. Do you want to, A, explain to our audience what binge eating is, and B, do you want to explain why it was so impactful in your life?
Yeah, absolutely. So binge eating is one of the only eating disorders, clinical eating disorders, recognized on kind of the other side of the spectrum. So we hear about anorexia, bulimia, and then which would be like lack of food. But binge eating is recognized as the overconsumption of food, and it's the only one, like I said, clinically recognized or clinically diagnosed. I was never clinically diagnosed because I didn't even know what was going on at the time. But now that I'm in the, you know, getting my further education and my PhD, I can see the differences now. But there's another one,
right.
Orthorexia, too. Orthorexia is the obsession with clean, healthy eating, which is a newer eating disorder from, I think, just born from the dieting industry, to be honest.
Right.
But my experience with binge eating was, you know, I always say people start binge eating for, they're going to fall into one of two categories. And the one category is you started binge eating for whatever reason, whether it was to cope or, you know, childhood trauma, disconnection, isolation, inferiority feelings, whatever. Whatever drove you to binge, you did it for some reason, often as a child, when you lacked other kinds of tools, which is understandable. And then because of binge eating, you then gained weight. And then there's people kind of on the other side, which is, they never had issues with binge eating until they decided to start losing weight, started dieting, started restricting, depriving, and all of a sudden became a binge eater. So I fall into that second camp. So I never had any issues with food. I was always just like kind of neutral, like food's just food. And then when I became a personal trainer, I became really aware that I didn't look like all the other trainers. I was skinny, but I wasn't toned or buff or anything like that. And someone said to me, oh, you're a personal trainer? You don't look like one. Now, I don't even know what she meant by that, but
wow.
I know it's like such a simple sentence, right? Like, who knows what she meant? Because it's not like I was overweight, but it hit me like, I don't belong. I'm not one of them. I'm not a real trainer unless I have a six pack. You know, all this subconscious stuff that drove me to do some pretty unhealthy things to achieve that. Now, my body kind of refused to do what I wanted it to do, whereas a lot of my clients are better at manipulating their bodies. Mine was like
right.
stubborn as hell. it was like, no, we're not going to let that work. So I just kept gaining weight and gaining weight and gaining weight the more I did. So the more I restricted my food, the more weight I gained. The healthier I ate, the more weight I gained. The more I worked out, the more I gained. It was like nothing would work. And so as a result of all that craziness and insanity of me really following the rules of a dieter so strictly, I became completely out of control with food.
Wow. Now I have to bring up, nobody here is a doctor on this radio show by any stretch of the imagination. We're sharing our opinions, our thoughts, our process that we've experienced on our own ideas. This is all to be cognizant of your mind, body, and soul. Very, very imperative to have those things in balance. And I will tell you that I've always been very slender. And in the last 3 years, Amy, 4 years,
yeah.
I gained 50 pounds, and I can't shake it. I run four miles a day. I eat nothing but protein. I have more protein shakes than they can develop. and I think it's true. I think my largest issue was I was in such a high stress, and Amy can testify, like huge high stress, constant fear. We were dealing with stalking, all kinds of crazy shit. I think that my body just said, screw it, I'm going to make you fluffy, just like you would wrap your kid up with bubble wrap before you put them on the
yeah.
bike for the first time.
Protection,
so, you know,
yeah.
Yeah. So there are a lot of people out there like me who have high-stress jobs, whatever, And I think that's also something to really dig into in regards to weight gain, because like you, I mean, you worked out and you dieted and you did everything that you were supposed to do, quote unquote,
mm-hmm.
and your body
right.
hated it.
Hated it. Rebelled. It was like,
yeah.
What are you doing? And the, you know, it's, I used to think, if you go back, if you listen to things, I've been doing this for about 10 years. If you go back and listen to me talking about stress in the past, you'll hear me say things like stress causes the increase of cortisol, and the increase of cortisol causes fat storage. And that was really what I had read and believed. And it's not that I'm saying that can't happen, but I recently learned the truth about stress. And, you know, my perspective has changed on it. And what I think happens when we get highly stressed, and why I think the body responds in the way that it does with storing fat potentially, is because it's like a blatant like shout to say, hey, this isn't working. Change something. I don't like this. This can't be it. Like, it's kind of like your body's like SOS sending signal to you, like, oh, she won't miss this one or he won't miss this signal. And I think it's more that than it is like a true like chemical thing that's happening. Otherwise, every single person that experienced stress would experience weight gain, and they don't. So, and there's a lot about stress that we don't really understand, that a lot of researchers and newer health psychologists are understanding a little bit more clearly, that we don't really hear about. So I think what happens is like, yeah, like you went into crazy protection. This is not the ideal scenario for my life. And the weight was a way of A, symboling to make sure you understood that, and B, protecting you from any potential anything, emotional danger, physical, whatever, mental. And then also it's just the body is just the analogy for life most often. Like whatever need, like for example, for me, I did everything really fast, and so my body, what really needed was slow in every way, shape, or form. And that's what it needed, to lose weight and to live happily. It's more slow. You
mm-hmm.
know what I mean?
Well, and I think it's beautiful because we look at our society and we're fast food, fast, go, 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 you know, advertisement everywhere. You can't even walk through the mall without listening to 15 different ads from 17 different stores, and then the radio on top of all that chaos and mayhem, and your cell phone's going off, and we're just so overly stimulated that
really?
It does not surprise me that we have gone to a place of obesity. And it's not
yeah.
just America, even though other countries would like to just say it's America. It's not. Overall, not only are we sedentary, but I think we're mind screwed. Like, we're just junkies
oh,
in
yeah.
the mind, because we are constantly being bombarded with something. And our body just can't settle. Does that make sense?
No,
we're not
absolutely.
We're not creatures
yeah.
of the stimulation.
No, it's not natural. It's, in fact, there's a whole theorist in psychology, I just blanked on his name, and his whole theory is based on, like, all of our psychological problems are disconnection from nature. Like, that's where it all stems from.
Yeah.
You know, and that's his whole philosophy and theory. And I don't disagree with that. I think there's a lot. And even now, I've heard that they're prescribing, I don't know the firsthand, but I've heard they're prescribing, like, go outside, camp. Like, they're, like, prescribing nature, essentially, to people for, like,
yeah.
depression and different things.
Yeah.
It's, like, it's crazy that somebody in authoritative role has to tell you to do that. But it's not their fault. It's because no one's giving them permission to do that. You're getting permission to work hard. You're getting permission to climb the ladder. You're getting permission to compete. You're getting permission to diet and go crazy and work really hard and all of that. But nobody's giving people permission to take a restorative yoga class, to rest and relax, to just sit and chat with friends. You know what I mean? Like, you don't get permission to do
that.
Well,
and then
like,
I was talking to these ladies maybe the day before. I work too much, and that's half my problem. That is. And they were looking at a position at the local hospital here, and I said, you know, as much as I love the ideology of hospitals, I find that they miss something. And she raised an eyebrow and she looked at me and I said, well, you might not like what I have to say, but, and Amy and I are from the same cloth in regards to, you need to seek alternative medicine. That needs to be first and foremost. You need to look at your herbs, your roots, and what you're putting in your body. You need to look at what you're putting outside of your body and on your body, because that's all absorbing. And, you know, you don't need to go to the doctor for every nick and pain. You don't need to go to the doctor for every sniffle. And doctors, especially here in Florida, and I'm not sure where you are, Michelle, but it's horrible to try to self-advocate. And that, to me, is mind-blowing. They're like, well, why would you know that? How do you know that about your body? I've got 42 years experience, just saying.
You know? I'm the only one in.
But they kind of look at you like... Well, I won't go there. I'm not sure about that one, but
well, I mean, they tilt
their head. They're like,
that
no,
doctor.
No. There's thousands and thousands and thousands of variations of everything that you have in your 55,000 books that you collected with your $5,000 degree. You know, but I get to know myself really well. You get to know about 500 people a month really well. And it's bizarre to me. You know, and Amy will tell you my first form of healing is turning up the radio and shaking my moneymaker. Let's do this, you know, and just getting in the groove and singing, even though I can't sing, but I don't care because, you know what, it makes my soul feel good. And that's not the medicine that we have grown accustomed to inhaling, and that needs to change.
Yeah, that's because what you're talking about when you get in, when you turn up the music and you dance and you sing, that's connection with yourself. And we are so disconnected from our bodies, disconnected from, I mean, personally, I think spirit, source, whatever you believe in, we're disconnected from, you know, the people around us. We're disconnected from the greater world, humanity. And I hope, because I've been reading more books that are mainstream on how impactful disconnection is, and I'm hoping that it will become more normal to kind of prescribe connection, if you will, which is exactly what I do with my clients. I'm prescribing connection because they're so, it's not, you know, Adler would say it's psychologically unhealthy to be focused on self-interest, like to the degree that, not in a, like, get-to-know-yourself way, but I mean in a my body has to look this way, my body's everything. Like, that self-interest is not actually normal. What's normal is social interest. Like, okay, so maybe you want your ideal body so that you can interact and do what you need to do with the world, and that's one thing. But just for vanity reasons, you'll notice vanity motivation wears off really quickly because it's just about you. But when you connect to the greater world, like I always told myself, this body... when I had it, this body's not my ideal body, and it's getting in the way of me serving my higher purpose. Like, it's actually getting in the way of what I need to do, and that's not going to work for me. So it's got to change. And when I connected to something bigger than me, it was so much easier to be motivated to whatever, for whatever. And so I really wish that people would see the importance of connection with everything, with yourself and with other people and with the world.
Well, we're
hallelujah, we're, preach it, girl. Preach it, preach it, preach it. Yes. That's it right there. Go, Amy.
And the other thing is getting people to experience joy. So it's about a feeling, and that's contagious as well, as well as people being depressed in their energy. So I work with energy healing, and that's the other side of medicine, and that's why I work in integrative medicine, because medicine works great in, like, emergency situations and, and things like that, but there's a piece missing, and when I worked in healthcare, the piece missing was that, you know, the human touch, that connection with other people, and in the feeling side of it, where was the weight loss coming from? You know, that someone said something to them when they were young, that they didn't look good, or they were fat, or they were, why are you eating all of that type of thing? Those are things that don't come out in the medical world. They're just telling you to deprive yourself, like you said, deprive yourself of the thing that you actually love. And I feel it's healthy to indulge once in a while, not binge, but to indulge. And to savor it. A mindfulness. I try to get people to eat mindfully, take their time and savor it. Don't, you know, shove it, you know, eat it as fast as you can. Like, eat really slow and just enjoy it and be grateful for it. And when you're grateful for your food, I've found it interesting when people are grateful for their food, it doesn't turn into unwanted fat.
Sure. Yeah, that's true. I used to tell my clients that. I'm like, if you enjoy it, it's calorie free. And they're like, no, it's not. I'm like, no, I swear. It's because your mind is giving your body the orders, right? So if you eat a plate of spaghetti, as we were using earlier, and you think, oh, this is so fattening, I'm too many carbs, this is not what I should be eating, I'm going to gain 6 pounds, your body's like, okay. And then that's if you look at someone who's, and talk to people who've never struggled with weight. Like, what do you think about spaghetti? They're like, I don't know, it's spaghetti. And what do you think when you eat it? I don't know, that it tastes good or it doesn't. Like, there's no meaning. There's no, hey, body, you know, I shouldn't be eating this, so just, deal with it. Like, it's just like the mindset of someone who's never struggled with weight is, my body will do what it's supposed to do with it. I don't know what it does with it, but it doesn't store it because why would it? And that is what's missing in all of these weight loss programs, is we're not looking at the perception behind it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that's what's missing in general. We're not looking at all. We're racing to practice, racing to drive through, racing to do dishes and laundry and mopping the floor and calling our friends and having these obligations and, oh gosh, we have to be on every single committee and we have to keep up with the Joneses and prove that we're this and prove that we're that.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't. We don't. We need to be spiritual beings, loving each other and giving each other as much of our wisdom and generosity and help that we can. And, yeah, it's great to be on committees, and, yeah, it's great to do this, and it's great to do that, but when it's actually taking away from your focus, which is your self-well-being and your centeredness, there's no greatness there. Amy.
And there's nothing, my crazy there's nothing more humbling. Yeah, there's nothing more humbling than, you know, a big old perspective shift, you know what I mean? Like when something in your life happens. You know, because for me, when I lost all the weight, it was from a car accident. So I got in a car accident. I was hit by 5 cars. Like everything, my perspective about everything changed. It was like, why am I even thinking about weight right now? Like, this is ridiculous. You almost died. You know, it's like, holy crap. And everything kind of shifts into the right place. And just, you know, six weeks ago, I'm in Northern California. The campfire came and took out my town, my house, everything I own. It's like you get that perspective shift. Like, shit doesn't matter, you know? Like,
yes. And when you get that big aha moment, people, to this day, people look at me funny because I am so much more mellow than anybody will ever meet. It's like, oh, yeah, okay. It just doesn't matter. Your attitude doesn't matter. Whatever you're bringing to the table, if it's not good, okay, whatever. But you have to hit that quagmire, that place where you really realize that you're working yourself up into a tizzy for nothing.
Yeah.
And it's amazing.
And what's interesting, you know, because you brought up joy, and it's hard to find. I've had a lot of times in my life where I have been so numb that not only was I not feeling joy, I wasn't feeling anything. And What was really helpful for me was to realize that joy doesn't come from grandiose things. Like, yeah, vacations are fun, and like a new car is fun, and like those things are good for spikes, like for little bits of little joy or whatever, vibrancy. But if you want to be joyful, if you want to feel vibrant and joyful, it's in the smallest things. And the research, when they ask people, what do you miss about someone who had passed away? They don't say, you know, I miss the, you know, expensive purse they bought me. They say, I miss their laugh. I miss how they would always misspell the word whatever. Or, you know, like it's the little tiny things. And so I try to really focus on, and this is how I've gotten out of patterns of numbness, of like, you're like, oh, my God, the joy of, like, my son's laugh. And, you know, he's 3, so he's not going to have these same sounds forever, like the way he talks and giving him a bath.
No, that giggle is crazy.
Like, yes, I know. And, like, the way he says my in-law's dog's name is Wilbur, and he says Werber, and it's just, you know, it's like those little moments. That is actually where joy comes from, but we're kind of trained to believe that joy comes from, like, the big vacation or the new car or, like, something big happening, the weight loss finally happening. That is just going to be a momentary excitement. It will not last.
No, and just like that, you know, just like that cookie or that cigarette or whatever it is that you're savoring, you know, that's not going to last. It's only going to be a temporary thing. So this is a great place, and I apologize. I usually do it halfway through the show, but it was so exciting to have you on. This is where I would love for you to tell people how to reach you.
Oh, yeah, it's super simple. You just go to imdonedieting.com, and what I did was I put together a free training for you guys, and I just walked through the process of how to stop binge eating. It's super simple. It's not what you think, obviously, from what you've heard so far. So no restriction, no deprivation, nothing like that. And you just follow that, and then it also has all the information from my books and everything else. It's all kind of right there for you, so that way it's super easy for you to get it.
All right, groovy. And Michelle, you offer classes and consulting and all that good stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, books are one way to get the information, but obviously my favorite thing is to work hands-on with people because, you know, when I was in it, when I was in the thick of this, I never imagined, like, I imagined that I would maybe lose weight, even though I never did, but I still held on to that hope. But I never imagined that I'd live a life where weight was a non-issue. Like, that felt like that was just now my forever. Like, it's just the way it is. And so to know now that it's just not an issue. Like, I gained 60 pounds when I was pregnant, and I lost that weight in so quick with zero effort. I did nothing different. Like, that kind of confidence in your body, like, if I could bottle it up and guarantee, like, I just wish that people would see that there is actually a way to live where weight is not a struggle. And I know that it sometimes feels like there's not.
Well, and again, that's back to all the messaging that we get, secret and not secret. We are inundated, pounded in the face with all of this. You're not good enough. Your thighs are too thick. You don't have thigh gap. What the whoever invented thigh gap, smack them.
I don't know. I mean,
you know, now it's,
I don't know how that helps your life.
But
I think it's on
I don't know. No, girls are supposed to be curvy. That's, you know, God gave us this beautiful privilege of giving birth and being able to see what we gave birth to. We are multitasking units here that need a little bit of cushion. Know what I'm saying? But nonetheless, the curvilicious thing is really difficult because if you are a little curvy, you do get looked at differently. You don't get the same kind of attention that somebody who's thinner. And there's a lot to be said. Go ahead.
Oh, I think it goes both ways because I have, like, zero curves no matter what I do. And, like, I feel like I have the total opposite where I'm like, God, I would do anything for a freaking curve.
I'll donate, honey. I'll be there in a few hours. Get your vacuum out. Put the plastic on the floor.
It's hard. Well, clothes, like you said, women are meant to be curvy. So the way clothes are designed, now, I know they design them, like, a lot of times when you see them, they're on models who are, like, potentially very skinny and stickly.
Right.
But what's more flattering or appealing, at least in my perception, is a little bit of curve. I don't think we're supposed to be straight. It's just the body I was given. I can't do anything about it. But it's just funny to hear someone who has curves say, man, it's like better to be, you know, not better, but it's the perception is that it's better to be not curvy when I think the perception is to be curvy.
Well, but it's a dream because I've always been thin. I've always been thin. So having these curves, I don't get as many dates. I don't get it as many, like, literally, they would be falling over themselves. And now that I'm a little chunky, nothing. And it just cracks me up.
But
I'm like,
the
really?
Quality? What's the quality of those men, you know?
Exactly right. But that's the funny part is that you kind of sit there going, okay, well, this is why these poor young girls are struggling so hard to have a self-esteem because I'm good. I'm 42 years old. I'm a beautiful woman. I am a wonderful person. You'd be lucky to even have dinner with me. Not worried. Okay. I'm not in a hurry. These younger girls, this whole younger generation, oh, they have boy, they've got a fight.
Mm-hmm. I had it. I mean, it was hard. Not from a weight thing. I just felt like adolescence was extremely difficult. And
it's horrible. And all this pressure with body imaging and painting on your eyebrows.
Or for me, it was like the look. I could never keep up. Like I lived with not a lot of money. My family didn't have a lot of money,
right.
And I lived in a city with not a lot of money. But I went to a high school in a neighboring city with a lot of money, and I remember just never feeling enough. Like everyone had Doc Martens. That was the thing in sixth grade. Like everybody had Doc Martens, and they're like,
"Oh, you must be my age."
Yeah.
Yep.
So I'm like, there's no way. There's no way you're getting Doc Martens. And it's like, she doesn't understand that to me, that was like social suicide. And I just remember always feeling less than and inferior because of a pair of shoes and that has like nothing to do with me.
And you know what's really mind boggling is if, and we're running out of time, but I have a feeling we're going to talk forever. If we were to turn back the clocks and look at our parents' generation, they were really, really excited when they got a bike for Christmas or they got a winter coat for Christmas. Like, it was so simple and easier in that regard. And then all of a sudden this consumerism boom happened, and then everybody got fat and everybody has heart attacks and whoa. So I think next time you come on, we'll have to talk about that part of history, because I really believe that's the link to all of our madness.
Well, and it's
so, my darling friend. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
No. I was just going to allow you to plug away one more time, because you have been a delight to have on. I'm so excited to have you again. And I know that Amy loved chatting too, because she's just a sister from our class.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. No, I was just going to say that when you said that they got excited for like a bike, that's because we lost everything in the fire. It's so funny, the things that excite us now, like when someone gives us like a nice pair of pants, you know, you're like, oh my God,
mm-hmm.
This is awesome. It's like 6 weeks ago, it was, who cares? But you know, it's interesting to have that perspective change when you realize, when everything gets taken away, or when you never had much, like in our parents' generation, and then how much something small means. So
you feel luxury.
Yes, I know. Somebody sent me a robe and slippers. I don't even know who, because strangers are sending us things, and I'm like, this is amazing. Like, I'm so excited for my robe and slippers. You know, it's like the craziest thing. But you know, it is. So, anyways, I really enjoy talking to the both of you. And if anybody wants more information specifically in this whole weight loss nonsense out there and wants to kind of get away from it, that's really what I'm here to do. So, I'm donedieting.com. You can find everything there.
Yay! And on a personal note, how are you guys holding up after the fire? You guys getting stuff back together?
We actually just finally close on our house. We had to buy a house in a neighboring city, so we moved in yesterday. I got keys yesterday. I'm like so excited.
We slept
on a mattress on the floor, and we've never been so excited to sleep on a mattress on the floor in our whole lives.
Right. Now, you guys lost your house due to the forest fire, right?
This is a campfire, so in the city of Paradise. So
the big campfire that tore up.
What was that?
Were you part of that large fire in California?
Yes.
There was
part of that campfire.
The Paradise one. So it was it's been the most destructive fire in history. It wiped out my entire town.
Yeah.
It was
I'm
crazy.
Actually
God bless you for coming on today.
Thank you. The craziest thing was, I mean, because we've had a lot of fire threat in Northern California, don't get me wrong, but this fire, there was zero evacuation notice. You didn't get any, nobody got evacuation notice. So it was just, you woke up, you looked outside, and you said, I think I should
probably
go. So 27,000 people evacuated at the same time with zero warning.
Wow.
Yep. So we'll have to talk about that more next time you come on, and I'm super glad that you got a house. High five for the mattress on the floor, because you know what? You are going to appreciate life so much more. You do not know what you don't know until you know, and girl, you know. You know. Happy Yule.
True.
Christmas. Feliz Navidad. Big hugs and kisses. High fives, and I hope we get to have you on again next year. Michelle, you are
thank
fabulous.
You so much.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye, honey.
Bye.
Amy, mind-blowing stuff that's going on in this world, isn't it?
Yes. I've actually had a lot of connection with people out there, and I've been supporting a center up in Mount Shasta that's supporting the people of the, you know, of the fires that are just wandering into her shop that have nothing. And, you know, you think about all the, like, the commercialism of Christmas, and all I can think about is how can I support a family who just lost everything? And what can we do? Like she said, a robe and slippers, you know, personal items that you just don't have, that you did 6 weeks ago. You know, those are the things I kind of focus on this time of year. And, you know, there's so many people that have been affected by those fires, and we haven't even begun to see on the media and things on how we can even help that. That's what's missing.
Well, and even, you know, when Chloe and I were homeless, just taking a hot shower was a blessing. And
right,
I can't
right.
even tell you, every morning that I go to take my hot shower, I'm like, you hot water gods, I love you. You're my bestie friend, and I just want to hug my shower every morning. So I can completely relate to the robe and the slippers. It's like normalcy. You feel normal after such a horrific thing, you know? But anyway, I want to get next week. We have this really cool guest. We've got like 2 minutes left of the show. Les Patterson is an author, Amy, and he's going to be talking to us about the underdog. Dun, dun, dun. The underdog. His wife is a survivor of cancer, and he wrote this beautiful book about the journey, and he is my hero for the day because what a great man. What a loving husband to do that and devote that amount of time to share your story, and it's a very personal story about cancer and your marriage and finding strength and unity in healing. I think it's wonderful. So Les Patterson's on next week. Michelle Hastings Thompson was on today. She is a survivor of the Paradise Fire. Amazing woman. She's totally up our alley. And Amy, I love you. And I'm not going to talk to you before Christmas. So Merry Christmas. Are you doing anything fun?
Merry Christmas. No, just my normal hanging out with my kids, coming in with the grandkids and just being. That's what I love about my Christmas. So, I don't have to go all over the place. And so I look forward to that. I look forward to hearing about yours and how everything goes. And I'll talk to you next week.
All right. I love you. Merry Christmas. Lots of hugs
love
to the
you.
Family. Love
I
you,
will.
Too. You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty, and I'm Rusty, and I want to wish everybody a happy holiday, happy Yule, happy full moon, happy weekend. You know, don't go to the mall this weekend. It's just not worth it. Write a card. Write a letter of how wonderful your year was. Hug somebody. Go mow somebody's lawn. And if you are local, give my address. We definitely have some tree cleanup here in Florida that could be done, too. Instead of running around buying gifts and spending money on things that, well, you can lose in an instant. Trust me, I know this personally, and I know many people who are starting to feel that as well. Love, laughter, go to the movies, bake some cookies, dance in the middle of the road, make somebody happy. Go feed a homeless person. There are tons of them. Exponentially increasing, unfortunately. But whatever you do, be kind to yourself, be kind to those around you, and know that you're loved and you're blessed. And you know what? You got another day to be a better version of you. Happy holidays. Until next week.